Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
104.5 The Zone.
The Orange and White Zone.
Big Orange Sunday with Doug Matthews. Presented by Franklin American Mortgage Company.
The Zone.
Good Sunday morning. You're listening to Big Orange Sunday, brought to you by Franklin American Mortgage Company. Tate Matthews filling in for the coach. He's away with the missus today. But I'm excited about the show we have set up for you today. Going to talk a little football, obviously. That's usually the main topic on this show. A little baseball with Alan Cockrell, and then we'll also go into some recruiting at the end of the hour as well. So, lineup for you today. Kippy Brown will join us the first half hour. We're going to talk to him about wide receiver U, where that came from, where it started. He might not have been the coach when they maybe had the first couple of great wide receivers that I think started the name wide receiver U. But he was dang sure the coach or the COO of wide receiver U in the glory years in the 80s from 83 to 89. So going to talk to him about that. Very excited about that. Then we're going to go to Alan Cockrell. He'll be joining us around 8:30 to talk Volunteer baseball. We'll really be focusing on what the Vols need to do to get to the SEC tournament. As you know, only 12 of the 14 SEC teams go. And what do the Vols need to do in the next couple weeks to make sure they are in those 12? Then we're going to finish up with Ryan Callahan of Go247.com. We're going to talk the latest in recruiting news for the Vols. In my opinion, nobody has the pulse on the Vols recruiting scene like Ryan Callahan. So baseball, the Vols are 12th in the conference with a 9-13 record. They beat Kentucky on Friday 6-2, fell to Kentucky on Saturday 3-10. Got a big game today against Kentucky. As Alan will be telling us a little bit later on, big game, need to get that win. Lady Vols are sitting at 4th in the conference with a 13-10 record. They defeated Mississippi State 7-4 on Friday. Little recruiting, Wanya Morris of Loganville, Georgia, committed on Tuesday to the Vols. The 6'6", 293-pound lineman is the number 7 offensive tackle in the country. Big get, pair him with Jackson Lampley, and we've got two really nice offensive tackle commitments so far for the 2019 class. All right, we're going to go to Kippy Brown, Coach Kippy Brown. Coach, good morning.
Good morning, Tate.
Glad to be with us. Glad to be with you today, buddy. Beautiful day out there. I got a pretty good feeling you're probably going to be hitting a small white ball here in a little bit. So today will be a good day, won't it?
Today will be a great. Well, every day is a great day unless it's raining.
We talk about it every time I get to fill in about once a year, but last time we were kind of tongue-in-cheek about it, but I do believe that you are single-handedly responsible for driving the regular host of this show out of golf. Ever since came back, about a year of tail kickings from you, and now he plays bridge.
Yeah. Hey, look here. But now, I'm not going to take responsibility for anything that has anything to do with that golf swing.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying you drove him out. If you can't beat him, well, let's go play bridge with the with the old ladies at Bellmead Country Club.
Oh, your dad must be out of the country.
He is. Hey, Coach, the fan in me, I get to do this, and I think a lot of people want to. I love hearing about this, but wide receiver U, okay? You came to University of Tennessee in 1983, coached through 89, obviously came back a couple times. But what we're going to talk about today is 1983 through 1989. There were obviously a couple of really good wide receivers before you got there, but in my opinion, and I think a lot of people out there, you were kind of the chief operating officer of wide receiver U in the glory days. The first thing that came to my mind is you came in 1983. You were 28 years old.
Yeah.
Already had Clyde Duncan, Lenny Taylor, young Tim McGee was there. I would think that, one, I don't know that we get guys that young to get shots like that anymore. Coach Fulmer, I think, was 28 when they hired him as the O-line coach. Dad was the running back coach, 30-year, 28. It seems to me like coaches maybe at top programs like that don't get the shot at a position like that, that earlier in their career. But the other thing is, if you had have been intimidated by having those great wide receivers already there, Clyde Duncan, obviously, and Tim were first-round draft choices, you had coached Mark Clayton at Louisville. I did not know that.
Right.
A five-time Pro Bowler. So you had already coached a great wide receiver before you got there.
Yeah. And you know, Willie Gault, Darrell Wilson, and Mike Miller were the three receivers at Tennessee before I got there. And those guys had gotten drafted. And, you know, when you look back at the reason Tennessee got the name wide receiver U, I think it goes back to the offense that we started running, and your dad was a part of that, and Phillip and David Cutcliffe. But we were a three wide receiver offense, and that's unique, because our base offense on first and second down was three wide receivers and two backs, and nobody really was doing that. You know, there were a lot of teams running the beer, wishbone, different things, but we were pretty elite in running a three wide out, two back system with tailback, fullback, and the only time a tight end got on the field was on third down or short yardage or goal line, and so I think that made us unique. And Phillip and David and Walt Harris, who was the coordinator then, and your dad and myself, you know, we went through all the growing pains of figuring out, you know, how to get those three receivers on the field and spread them out and run the ball. We wanted to run the ball. We did it to run the ball. But we had to have the answers when people put seven in the box of how to attack it. So, you know, I think that's what started wide receiver U, in my opinion, because we had to have three receivers on the field most all the time. And they need to be playmakers. So when I got to Tennessee, it was Clyde Duncan, Lenny Taylor, and Tim McGee. Joey Klingscales had just come out of his freshman year, and he was still learning. So, but those guys were really, really good players.
Coach, I think you just answered the question, but that was one thing I was going to ask you. Why do you think you all were so successful at back then? Obviously, you know, a lot less TV coverage, no internet, anything like that. Why do you think you were so successful at recruiting those types of wide receivers? You know, I guess Klingscales was from Austin East, wasn't he? He was the only one that you just mentioned from Tennessee. But I think you just answered it. You all were the ones running that type of offense. And what fast wide receiver wouldn't want to play in that three wide receiver set? Was that a big part of it?
Yeah, it was. It was that. And then the other big thing was we had a great football track relationship. You know, Willie Gault ran track. All those guys were running track, and so Terry McDaniels, who played at Tennessee later on, came there really to run track, and then went out for football. And I've got a great story on him of how he came on. So, you know, I think the track football relationship and the fact that we were in a three wide out offense. And you could come to Tennessee and you had a chance to play. If you developed and did the things we asked you to do, there was an extra position for you.
So you get to Tennessee in 83. Obviously, Clyde and Lenny are already established. Mm-hmm. Tim was probably a little bit younger. Joey obviously was a freshman. But Clyde, kind of, you know, he was a first-round pick. But, I mean, an explosive guy. One of my earliest memories of highlights is him taking it down the sideline, you know, that long stride. But what kind of maybe some what were some things about Clyde and Lenny especially, we'll get to McGee in a little bit, that just really made them special? And they were kind of different too, weren't they?
Well, yeah, they were different. But you got to remember, those guys never started. They were backups until I got there, because the year before, Willie Gault, Darrell Wilson, Mike Miller were the starters. And Clyde Duncan and Lenny Taylor and Tim McGee was a freshman. Those guys didn't hit the field much. And actually, Clyde went over and played safety a little bit. You know, so when I get there, those three guys were gone. And to be honest with you, and they may not admit it, but Phillip and your dad and Coach Majors and everybody was a little nervous that these guys had never played. But to their credit, they came on and did what they were supposed to do and developed into really productive players. productive enough that Clyde got drafted in the first round, and Tim eventually became a first rounder. So, and that's where the wide receiver U thing started. You know, we had three guys on the field all the time, and they were good athletes, and they produced and got drafted. So that was the big thing.
It seems like maybe Lenny was maybe the smallest of that group. I think Tim was, you know, now it's gone crazy. But back then, was Tim considered a pretty decent side wide receiver?
Average. Lenny was bigger than Tim, but Tim wasn't a big guy. But Tim was ultra athletic. And here was the other thing about the three wide offense: all those guys had to be interchangeable. They had to move around, because what happens is, if you just put one guy in the slot and then the other guy always plays outside, then people can game plan for you and take things away. So the other unique thing was those guys, and they loved it. They all played every position, and then we kept that going throughout the whole thing. So it was a unique situation, and we went through the growing pains, and we had to figure out, you know, what to do when people put seven in the box, you know, because we wanted to run the football. Coach Majors and Phillip and Walt, we all wanted to run the football. But when you spread out in the three wides, they can put guys on the edges and give you problems. And that's where our quick game came in, the three-step drop, so that we didn't get sacked. We got it out quick, and we had to have guys to be open quick. So it was fun. It was a really terrific offense, and we went through the growing pains and figured out all the problems to the offense.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the three-step quick game. I believe 83, which is kind of neat. Alan Cockrell's coming on after you to talk baseball. He was the quarterback, right? Was he the quarterback in 83?
Yeah, when I first got there, Cockrell was the quarterback, exactly.
And the quick game he was really good at. And that thing was, with the way you all ran the ball downhill the way you all did, yeah, that was you better be on your toes, or one of those guys was going to get by you.
Oh, sure. And again, the misnomer is we were a running team. Our tailbacks were very productive, and we had good fullbacks. We were a physical football team, but we spread you out to do it. And then when you attacked us inside, put too many in the box, you know, those guys outside had opportunities and they knew it. They knew the offense, and they were just sitting there waiting and hoping that they would put seven people inside so that they'd get one-on-one and force us to throw the ball either short on the quick game or down the field.
So you get to 84, 85, Clyde and Lenny leave. Really now Tim McGee, which I had always wondered. I read this on Wikipedia. I remember you called him Hatchet. I didn't understand that, but I guess that was part of his name, right?
Middle name.
He had two Tim middle
Hatchet
names.
McGee. Yeah, Hatchet McGee.
That's right.
But Tim, and then we went out to California and got Eric Swanson. And I still talk to Swanee from time to time. He keeps up with Tennessee football. And he calls me and wears me out, wants to know everything. But it was Tim McGee, Eric Swanson, and Joey Cleanscales. And those were our guys. And then, again, I talked about the track deal, Sam Grotty and Terry Scott. See, little people know this. Sam Grotty never caught a pass at Tennessee. He played receiver there. But Sam's got a silver medal in the Olympics.
In the 100, right? Yes, sir. And wasn't he on a relay a medal winning relay team?
Yeah, and Sam played at Tennessee, and I may be wrong, but I don't think he ever caught a pass. He was much like Terry McDaniels. Now, there's two track guys that had long pro careers that never caught a pass at Tennessee, but they played receiver there. They were great athletes, and they were good. But Sam went on and played for the Raiders. I think it was he played 5 or 6 years in the NFL. And Terry McDaniels, you know, he was there with Anthony Miller, and he started five or six games, and because Anthony was hurt, but he never caught a pass. He'd run you off and run good routes. But then Anthony got healthy, and I had to tell Terry that he wasn't going to start anymore. And we were in the old Stokely building, and in that building, the staff table was in the shape of a T. And I was sitting across from Terry in there by myself because Coach Majors didn't want to tell him. he's going to lose his job. And then he came across the table at me when I told him he wasn't going to start anymore. He came across the table at me. So,
how did you bluff your way out of that one?
Well, here's what I told him. I said, I'll tell you what you do. Go to defense, because Coach Zook had some injuries. I said, Terry, if you go to defense for 3 days, and if you don't like it, you can come back, and don't worry about it. I said, but go do it for 3 days and see how you like it. And he did. And he took to it like a duck to water, and he didn't want to come back because he didn't have to catch the ball anymore. All he had to do is knock it down. And he could run with everybody. And make a long story short, Terry got drafted number 9 in the first round. Anthony Miller was the first 15th pick in the first round. So, it is important to get guys in the right spot. If Terry had stayed at wideout, he'd never gotten drafted.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so you got to get him at the right position.
The fan in me, that kind of explains those of us that watched back then. Terry was number 86, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Which was odd for a DB, but it's because he came there as a wide receiver.
Yeah, he's playing wide receiver, and he didn't want to change his number. So, he was a great athlete. I mean, he was, everybody talks about how fast Anthony Miller was. Terry was fast. And Terry had track speed. Terry was tough. He had size. He had everything. He just couldn't catch. And believe me, I've got every drill in the book. But for some reason, when the ball got close to his hands, he just couldn't handle it. But he could knock it down, and that's why he became a Pro Bowl defensive back.
Coach, I feel like we all have a grasp of Tim McGee and the guys we've mentioned so far. I think, and I know a guy that you really, really love the way he played, but I think a guy that kind of got underrated in that group was obviously Joey Klingscales had a great career. It was Eric Swanson. He was a tough dude, man. He was playing with a couple with McGee and Klingscales, but I know a guy that you really enjoyed coaching.
Oh, those three guys. Here's the great thing about them. They were smart. They could play every position, and guys like that. Once you coach them up and they know what you want, hey, you can throw them out there. They can run practice. They know what they have to get done. They know how you want it done, and they go do it. And those guys are really enjoyable to coach. Swanee knew his strengths and he knew how to use them. He was a strong, tough, physical guy. Joey was the best deep ball runner. He wasn't the fastest, but he's the best deep ball runner. And Tim was outstanding too. Take a quick story. We go down to Memphis, and Memphis has got two of the best corners, two guys that end up being first rounders. I think Derek Burrows, and I forget the other kid's name. Had three great corners, and they played man-to-man, and they shut people down. I mean, they would shut you down. And they had those two great corners, but they didn't have three. So we moved McGee around. We moved McGee inside to where their nickel guy had to cover him, and Tim had one of the best games he ever had in his career. So those guys were flexible, and we moved them around to get them in the right spot and to get the right matchups. And it was a terrific situation. Three really good players.
Coach, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk Anthony Miller, Harper, Pickens, quite possibly my favorite, T.D. Woods. But we'll come back and we'll talk about those guys in the later part of the 80s, okay?
Okay, buddy.
We'll be right back with Kippy Brown right here on Big Orange Sunday, brought to you by Franklin American Mortgage Company on 104.5 The Zone.
Hi, this is Todd Tressler with Tressler & Associates, here to thank everyone who has made our firm a success. We've grown from focusing on real estate to a firm of 18 concentrating on almost every aspect of the law. With deep roots in Middle Tennessee, our firm is committed to securing peace of mind for residents of our area. Because we consider ourselves a family at Tressler, we are fully committed to you and your family no matter what life throws at you. When you need help, visit TresslerAssociates.com. Tressler & Associates, securing your peace of mind.
Looking for a wow experience in upscale dining? Welcome to Stony River Steakhouse & Grill. You know us for our certified Angus beef brand steaks, but we're much more. Stony River is a neighborhood restaurant featuring fresh seafood entrees and made-from-scratch cuisine, complemented by handcrafted cocktails and award-winning wine list. All this to savor in a warm, rich ambiance. Stony River Steakhouse and Grill on West End in Nashville and Galleria Boulevard in Franklin.
At Lazy Boy Furniture Gallery, you'll be blown away by the huge selection of Lazy Boy recliners in fabric and leather, but also by the sofas, sleep sofas, sectionals, and motion upholstery. And if you need help designing an entire room around Lazy Boy furniture, we've got a home design program, and we'll come to your house and put it all together free. I'm Mike Keith, encouraging you to check out any of the three area Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries, Cool Springs, Hendersonville, and now in Murfreesboro at Medical Center Parkway in front of Embassy Suites.
When it comes to home field advantage, the two words you need to know are Neyland Stadium. And when you're talking dental insurance advantage, the two words to know are Delta Dental. And no is sure to bring a smile to your face, as in no hassles, no surprises, no special ID cards required. Want to know more? Visit them online at DeltaDentalTN.com. Delta Dental of Tennessee. Dental made simple.
I don't know much about tires other than the fact that I need four of them to drive around. I do, however, know Bruce Rather at Tire World, and when my car needs tires and alignment, an oil change, or a problem diagnosed, Bruce gets a call from me. For 35-plus years, Tire World has been a staple in Rutherford County. They have locations in Murfreesboro, Smyrna, Laverne, and Chapel Hill. So for most any kind of tires at great prices, go see Bruce at Tire World and look him up at tireworld.us.
Want to catch the zone on the go? Download the iPhone or Android app today. Download it now at 1045thezone.com.
Welcome back to Big Orange Sunday. Back with Coach Kippy Brown, talking wide receiver, you in the 80s. Coach, now we're up to, what, 86? By the way, there was a very nice Sugar Bowl win there in after that 85 season into the 86. But we get to 86. Really, that's kind of when Anthony Miller kind of bursts on the scene, right? And what an explosive player he was. Most people remember, if you don't, the younger ones. He was a junior college guy. You all got him out of California in JUCO, but boy, he made an immediate impact.
Pasadena Junior College. He had great hands. He was fast, and he went on and it was a first rounder. He was a terrific player, but you know, and then we brought in some young guys that were kind of no name guys and nobody knew anything about that really ended up in terrific players for us. I'm talking about T.D. Woods, Terrence Cleveland, and Craig Faulkner. And, T.D.'s right from the Gallatin. I think he went to Gallatin, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
And Terrence is from Sweetwater, Tennessee, which is my hometown. And I just happened to have him. I did a football camp down there one summer, a week-long camp, and he was there. And he showed up every day on time. He was clean cut. Yes, sir. No, sir. And he was very small though. And his coach was Bill Dukes, who was the head coach of Sweetwater at the time. And Bill said, "Hey, you better take a look at this kid." So I had him in camp. He can run like the devil. And I talked Coach Majors into taking a look at him. And Coach said, bring him up here. So he comes up, Coach Dukes brings him up, and Terrence has got on khaki pants and his leather jacket. And he just looks really good. Coach Mayer said, "I like that kid." He said, "We need to sign him." So he did, and he became a heck of a player for us. And then Craig Faulkner from Richmond, Kentucky, I had to convince him he could play at Tennessee. We had him in camp, and he could run like the devil. I said, "God, I'd like to coach this kid." And he lived with his father, and we had a hard time convincing him that he could play because Eastern Kentucky had him convinced you can't play at Tennessee, but he did. And then those three players were really, really good players for us too, along with Alvin Harper and Vince Moore, and we're along that same time.
Without a doubt. And TD, Tim McGee, he by the time he leaves, he's the all-time leader in receptions with 123. TD ends up breaking it by one with 124. And if you lined all these guys up that you've mentioned through the first 20 minutes of this show, if just by look test, I don't think anybody's going to pick TD. Yeah, that's the guy that's the all-time. But talk about him. What made him so special? I told you earlier, I bumped into Jimmy Miller earlier in the week. And and not he wasn't talking about, like, fighting tough, but he could not quit talking about how tough TD was.
Well, you know, some guys are just bars. You know, you play football for different reasons. You know, some guys play football because, you know, it gives them status. You know, some guys play because they hope to get pro contracts or whatever, for different reasons, because of different things. But TD played because he loved to play. And he was just at home on the football field. And he understood football. And he knew how to get open. He wasn't fast, but he could run by you. You know, he wasn't that big, but he was tough and never backed down. So, you know, that was the reason. He was just a football player. And, I mean, you can't point out any one thing, size, speed, or anything that he was just great at, except that he was just a natural-born football player.
So TD and Terrence, number five and number four, not the biggest guys, but great, great production out of them. And then you mentioned you bring in Alvin Harper. Anthony Morgan was there too.
Yeah, yeah. Anthony got drafted. Anthony's from Cleveland, Ohio. Same high school as McGee I can't think of his name. He was there before I got there. That went to John Hay High School up in Cleveland, Ohio.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Anthony
Hancock.
You'll think of Hancock. Anthony Hancock.
He was a pretty good one too.
Yeah, man. But we had a great relationship with that high school coach up there, and that's where we got Anthony Morgan. But Harper comes in, and you know, we know the story there. He becomes a first round draft choice to the Dallas Cowboys, and again, we were still in three wide offense. You needed three of those guys, and they were getting highlighted because they got opportunities. When people came after you, it was on them. They had to do it. They had to perform and get it done.
Coach, and Anthony Morgan was explosive too. Obviously, Alvin Harper was a great basketball player too. Do I remember he was a high jumper as well?
Yes, he was.
You could throw the ball up to him and he could go get it.
And here's the thing about Alvin. Alvin wasn't great on the outside until he got into pro football. He figured it out. But at Tennessee, he wasn't the best route runner, you know, dropping his weight, getting in and out of routes. And he didn't become that really until he got to Dallas. And then he was on the other side of Michael Irvin and he became a really good route runner. But at Tennessee, Alvin played mostly in the slot. He was a big slot receiver, and you could get him down the middle, you know, he could work inside and get open. So, you know, that's where he played primarily was in the slot.
And then we bring in Carl Pickens. Mm. Now, I'm guessing you knew when you got him, we've got something pretty special here.
Without a doubt. Carl was from over in Murphy, North Carolina, and you know, it was us in South Carolina recruiting Carl, and Carl's mother wanted him at Tennessee, and Carl had committed to South Carolina, and Carl's mama said, "No, I don't think so. I'm sending you over to play for Kippy," and that's what happened. And Carl was a great player. He got MVP at free safety in the Cotton Bowl. So you're talking about a guy that could play a lot of places on the football field.
So I was looking at his stats. So as we mentioned, Tim McGee was the leader with 123. Then TD breaks his record with 124. Obviously, all three of those guys – I mean, both of those guys played all 4 years. Carl's first year as a freshman, as you mentioned, somebody stole him from you and put him over at defensive back. But
you were dead.
he was pretty good at that. You had some pretty good ones too, but he had seven and he continued to play some on offense that year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Oh yeah.
And do I remember right after y'all moved him over, like I think almost every game or like six of the games, he had an interception.
Oh yeah. He saved a game at Vanderbilt at one point. And I never forget the Cotton Bowl. The Cotton Bowl, I think, was your dad's last game. Carl Pickens got MVP at the Cotton Bowl, And I can remember like it was yesterday, he'd come off the field just fresh from playing defense, knocking a pass down, getting us the ball back. And he'd come and sit right beside me, stand right beside me and look at me. And I knew what was going through his mind. When are you going to put me in, coach? You know, and he'd just come off the field defense. So, I mean, I said, get rested, but you're going back in. And he played both ways. What a terrific athlete.
So here's where obviously the game had changed a little bit by the time he got there. But so Tim had 123. TD had 124. Carl only played 3 years, coach. His first year, he had 7 catches. My point is sophomore year, 53, junior year, 49, 109 total receptions. If he doesn't play safety as a freshman and comes back his senior year, he probably is the all-time leading reception leader, not Joey Kent.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. I mean, Carl was just one of those natural athletes. And again, you know, here's another funny story is that we decided to redshirt him the first year, and he didn't like it. I want to play. Well, we had a couple injuries, and we said, all right, we need to bring Carl out of redshirt. And so I went to tell him. He got word of it. He got in his car and drove back to Murphy. So we couldn't find him because he said, no, I don't want to come out of redshirt. And I called his mom. I said, Mary, we can't find Carl. And she said, well, he's driving up and down the streets over here in Murphy. And so Carl was strong-minded. You know, when he made his mind up to do something, he was going to do it. And he decided he wasn't ready to play. So he said to keep from any controversy, I'll just go home.
That's hilarious. Coach, this has been great. I appreciate it. We'll have you back, and maybe we'll get you coached Joey. You coached Marcus. We'll talk about those guys another time.
But Peerless Price. I mean, those guys were terrific, terrific players. When I think about them and you know how they played and what kind of kids they were, it just really makes me feel good that I was able to coach them.
Coach, have a great day. Good luck in the golf tournament, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Tate. See you, buddy.
Coach Kippy Brown, breaking down wide receiver U. Nobody knows it better than him. When we come back, Alan Cockrell will be talking volunteer baseball with us right here on Big Orange Sunday.
This is Mike Keith with a hot tip for football fans. You don't have to miss a second of the action for a meal break. Just call Rafferty's and order one of their delicious party trays to feed the crowd. It's quick and easy, whether you're at home, partying with friends, even at the office. You can enjoy Rafferty's famous chicken fingers, club sandwiches, ribs, and much, much more. Just call ahead and pick up right in their carryout store. Your party trays will be ready when you get there for the whole crowd. That's Rafferty's, with locations across Tennessee.
Hi, folks. This is Herb Berry, owner of Berry's Jewelry Company in historic downtown Madison. You know, engagement and anniversary season is here. And if you're thinking of popping the question this year, Berry's Jewelry Company has the answer. At Berry's, we feature a tremendous selection of quality diamond engagement rings and bridal sets, often up to 50% less than other retail jewelers. So if you have a big anniversary coming up, please stop by to check out the selection of exquisite diamond earrings, diamond bracelets, diamond anniversary rings, or even an upgrade for her current bridal set. Berry's carries a huge selection of ring settings, and you can even select your own center diamond. Thrill her with the best from Berry's, and do your budget a favor. Don't pay retail. So come on over to Berry's and see for yourself what clients for many years have discovered. Berry's Jewelry Company, for quality, value, selection, and service. You just can't do better than Berry's. Visit us today in Madison at berriesjewelryco.com or Facebook.
Hi, I'm Dwayne Hardy, President of Forklift Systems. Thanks for another incredible year. Business is booming, and we seek exceptional people in Indiana, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Alabama. Recent customer feedback said, it's refreshing to deal with a company of integrity with people you trust. It brightens my day when I call your office. Your response is fast. You're easy to do business with. If that sounds like you, email me your resume to careers@forkliftsystems.com.
Family law, a very specialized area of law in Tennessee. Burt McCarter at mcelaw.com has handled thousands of cases over the past 18 years in this very specialized field. Understanding divorce and separation, child custody, child support and visitation, father's rights, and alimony. All these areas, Bert has spent his entire adult life working with and for families right here in Middle Tennessee. If you're facing one of these situations, let Bert help you. His website, mcelaw.com.
You know, I think it's time for the talk.
I'm a little old for the talk.
No, I mean we'll be 65 soon, so let's talk about the costs not covered
by Medicare.
Yes.
And we don't want to be caught off guard, so we need Medicare supplements from someone trustworthy?
Yes. So now, when are we going to talk?
Well, I think we just did.
Have questions about Medicare supplements? See our videos at fbhealthplans.com or visit your local Farm Bureau office. Farm Bureau Health Plans. We've got you covered.
Cosmetic dentistry, restorative dentistry. As specialized areas in dentistry as it gets. For over a decade and a half, Dr. Clint Newman has specialized in these two areas in Middle Tennessee. Located in Green Hills, online at clintnewmandds.com, Dr. Newman's vast experience coupled with his artistic eye has provided his highly valued patients incredible results. Check him out at clintnewmandds.com. Restorative dentistry, cosmetic dentistry.
Father's Day is coming, and we've got a great way to spend the day with Dad. It's the Who's Your Caddy Golf Tournament on Monday, June 18th at Greystone Golf Club in Dixon. Spend the day away from the office and tee off on one of the most beautiful courses in the Middle Tennessee area. Pick a morning or afternoon flight, but spots are limited. Special thanks to Carvana, Uncle Bud's, and Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Get more details or register your foursome today at 1045thezone.com.
Welcome back to Big Orange Sunday, brought to you by Franklin American Mortgage Company. Time to talk Vol baseball. That means Alan Cockrell joins us. Alan, good morning.
Good morning, Tate. How are you?
I'm doing well, my friend. Good to talk to you.
Same here. It's been a while.
Yes, sir. I don't know if you remember, you gave us a dog when I was about 7 years old, Tigger. Do you remember that dog?
I do remember that dog. I also remember, even prior to that, we were leaving Orlando in the Citrus Bowl, and I still have a picture of you and me. You're sitting on my lap, and we're both wearing Mickey Mouse ears.
I would love to see that.
How about that?
Take a picture of that. Send that to me. That'd be great. Well, hey, the Vols, we're sitting at 26-23, 9-14 in the conference. Kind of since last Sunday when you were on, here's what's happened. A Sunday, a 6-5 victory over Georgia. A Tuesday loss to Morehead State, a Friday victory 6-2 over UK, and then fell to UK Saturday 3-10. Kind of a snapshot of this season, some ups and some downs, right?
It has been. And, you know, it really all kind of depends on, not kind of, it does, depend on what kind of starting pitching they get. And if their starting pitchers hang in there and give them a chance to win, they compete. They will compete.
So, really, here's where we are. They've got the third game versus Kentucky today at home at 1 p.m. Eastern time. For those that don't really understand, what we're talking about now is the SEC tournament. What do we got to do the next 2 weeks to get in? Only 12 of the 14 teams get in, correct? Now, is it the top 12? Does it have anything to do with Eastern, Western, or is it the top 12 best records?
It's just the top 12 in the conference. And for Tennessee to get in, they need to win today. They need to win 2 out of 3 against Vandy, and then they go on the road to Columbia to play at Missouri. They need to win 2 out of 3. They need to win this series and the next two, and I think they'll assure themselves a chance to go play in the SEC tournament. I like their chances today, Tate. I really do. They have their most consistent starting pitcher on the mound today. He's thrown every Sunday conference game, Will Neely. He gives them competitive innings. He's going to pitch 5, 6, 7 innings into the ball game. He's going to give his chance, give his ball club a chance to win. They all also have Stallings, who has been the Saturday starter for the most part up until the last 2 weeks. Hundley has kind of filled in for him. And they have a fresh Garrett Crochet to close it out. So if Neely keeps them close, the offense battles and scrapes out some wins. They have the pitching to get it done today.
Yeah, and when you look at their record, they're you know, and I heard you talking with Dad a couple of weeks ago about this, but they're 19-13 at home, which yes. They don't have a winning record on the road. So this is a big one with this one being home. And then the good thing is the Vanderbilt series is at home, but the bad thing is it's against Vanderbilt. And then they'll go against Missouri, which right now, I believe going into this week, Missouri was ahead of them. Then with what's happened this week, Tennessee has jumped them by one spot. But yeah, this game's big, or it makes almost the next two series, you know, they got to get them all if they can.
They need to win the series for sure. Tennessee is really, they're in postseason play right now. Every series they play is almost like postseason play, you know, just to get to that point to where they're able to go to the SEC and play. But you know, Georgia just swept Missouri, and not playing their best baseball right now. Georgia's a really good ball club. They were my sleeper 3 weeks ago, and they've really turned it on, and they're a really good ball club. And Vanderbilt's a 500 club, Tate. You know, they're not unbeatable. They're not the same club that they've been in the past. So I think Tennessee sits in a really good position if they do what they can do and do what they need to do. They're going to give themselves a chance. It's in their hands, and really as a player and as a coach, that's all you can ask for.
I was going to ask you that. Does that surprise you, Vanderbilt sitting at 500? Actually, they're 11-12, unless they won yesterday. 11-12 yeah. In the conference. What do you think about them? Come tournament time, or are they, obviously they always play well, but is that a team that you would worry about seeing come tournament time?
Well, I think just simply based on the fact that they have some postseason experience, they've been there, done it. I think that makes them, that always makes them a threat. But with the exception of Florida and probably Arkansas, there's a lot of 500 clubs in the SEC this year. There's a lot of parity. And that makes, you know, the next two series for Tennessee, this final game today against Kentucky and the Vanderbilt series coming up next week, makes those, you know, playing at home, makes those even more vitally important to go ahead and win series.
I'd heard you mentioned the pitching lineup that we have today that gives us the best chance. And I know a couple of weeks ago you had alluded to the fact that the Vols were leading the league in errors, and that was something that had to be cleaned up. You know, if the guys on the mound are doing their job, but we're not doing our job in the field, hard to win. Have they cleaned that up? And maybe a player or two that really needs to play well in the field today to get this Kentucky win.
They have cleaned it up a little bit. They're playing a lot better defensively. But, you know, the old saying goes, you win championships with pitching and defense and timely hitting. The pitching has turned a corner, in my opinion. Defensively, they're playing better. Tennessee's a scrappy ball club. Offensively, they don't have a big bopper in their lineup, but they're going to scrape and claw, and they put pretty good at bats together, and they do it off the back end of bullpens too, and that's hard to do. So there's no quitting these guys. If they can pitch it and catch it, which I think Neely will give them that opportunity this afternoon, I like their chances in winning this series.
When you're a coach in the SEC, obviously two are going to get left out. What, you know, how big in basketball? The goal is to make it to the to the NCAA tournament when you can, but how big of a deal is that as a coach, if not making it to the tournament? What is that? Does it hurt in recruiting? You know what I'm saying? What does that mean?
Well, it does, I would think, hurt a little bit in recruiting, but, you know, Tony Vitello and his staff, they're all brand new. I think you could use it as a tool to sell kids on the opportunity to play early in their college careers at the SEC level and be a part of the group that came in and turned it around for Tennessee baseball. I think, you know, it could go either way, but Tennessee hasn't played in the SEC tournament in a number of years. I remember at least once they did with Dave Serrano. I don't remember more than once, and it's, you know, that dates back to Todd Raleigh, and maybe it's been 10 or 12 years since Tennessee's consistently been competing in the SEC tournament, and then postseason plays a totally different story altogether.
So let's say we get this win today. Then we go into preparation for the Friday, Saturday, Sunday in Knoxville versus Vanderbilt. Let's say we get the win today. What would kind of be your approach to Monday through Thursday getting ready for Vanderbilt?
It all depends on pitching, Kate. And I've talked about this with your dad just about every week. Everything that you do as a ball club, your success depends on your pitching, and it starts with your starters. So I would line up my starting pitching, and I would just see how my pitchers, my bullpen guys, match up against my opponent's offensive players. And I would just map it out and just kind of outline it. This is the way I would like for it to go. And I would have a plan A, a plan B, and possibly even a plan C. And you know, it's all about winning a game. It doesn't matter if you lose 20-0. If you win the other two games, you've won the series. And that's the most important thing. So, you know, you're playing to win each game, and then some games that you're just not going to have an opportunity to win the game, then you want to save your guys and line them up so that you can win the next day.
Well, it's going to be fun to watch. We'll know a lot after today, and then getting into these next two series. So currently, 12th in the conference, but got a chance to really make some moves in the next few weeks. So, Alan, I appreciate it, man. We will be back next Sunday, and we'll be talking this game and then also the Vanderbilt series. So hopefully we'll have some good results to talk about.
That sounds good. Thanks, Tate. Good to talk to you.
Yes, sir. You have a great day, bud.
You too, man. See
ya. Alan Cockrell. He is our Vol Baseball Insider. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk some recruiting with Ryan Callahan of GoVols 247. Had a big commitment this week. And making some waves on the recruiting trail right now. So Ryan will catch us up on that when we get back on Big Orange Sunday, brought to you by Franklin American Mortgage Company, 1045 The Zone.
You've heard me talk about American Home Design for a number of years on this show. During that time, my wife and I have had all of our windows replaced, our patio doors replaced, and our entry door replaced. Each time with the professionalism Don Bruce and American Home Design have guaranteed. If you need help in any of these areas and more, let American Home Design help you like they did me. Online at American Home Design or stop by and see them at 880 Conference Drive in Goodlettsville. They're also open Saturdays from 10 to 5 and Sunday from 1 to 5.
I love my community. And as a doting dad,
Daddy's home.
A devoted son.
There you are, Joe.
And a good neighbor.
Hey, man.
The people in my life are used to hearing my knock at the door. But as a law enforcement officer, I have to give news that people never expect. That's the one knock I always dread.
Booze it and lose it. A message from the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Locally owned for over 20 years, Franklin American Mortgage Company has grown from humble roots to become one of the largest mortgage lenders in the nation. But they've never gotten too big to give back to the communities that have given them so much. They're proud to support numerous national and regional charities, as well as youth, collegiate, and professional sports in the Nashville area. Their values aren't only in their great rates and unparalleled service, they're in everything they do. Franklin American Mortgage. It all begins with home. Equal housing lender, NMLS number 1599.
71 degrees all the way.
73 degrees, please.
So what's your perfect degree of comfort? We'll help you find it with professional Rheem HVAC service that'll keep your home comfy year-round, save on energy costs, and may qualify for utility rebates and tax credits. So enjoy a new degree of comfort.
72 degrees, and I'm good to go.
Count on Rheem to provide great service on all brands of equipment. Visit Rheem.com to locate a Rheem dealer near you.
Stover's Liquidation has what you need for your spring home projects, inside or outside, with the biggest selection and best prices anywhere. Hundreds of truckloads of landscaping stones in stock right now, all 10% off. And while supplies last, get a free 5x8 area rug for every 1,000 square feet of hardwood purchase. Glass, stone, and metal mosaics, all buy one, get one free. All shaker-style cabinets, 10% off. At Stover's in Cookeville, Antioch, or Knoxville, open 7 days a week, or online anytime at StoversLiquidation.com. Stover's.
Mid-South Business Furniture.
Our customers know that Mid-South Business Furniture is the office furniture expert in Middle Tennessee. But did you know that we are also an experienced office design firm as well? Our office design staff will amaze you. We can also meet your office supply needs with next-day delivery. Our online ordering is quick and easy. Give us a call at 297-5654 or visit our website at MidSouthBusinessFurniture.com. Mid-South Business Furniture. Fun jingle, serious business.
Mid-South Business Furniture.
The Midday 180 breaks down the X's and O's with NFL Films' Greg Cosell. Presented by the Huffaker Group of Keller Williams Realty. Wednesday afternoons at 12:20 on 104.5 The Zone.
Welcome back to Big Orange Sunday, brought to you by Franklin American Mortgage Company. We've got Ryan Callahan of GoFalls247.com on the line. Ryan, good morning.
Hey, Tate, how's it going?
I'm doing well, my friend. Thank you for joining us. Let's dive right into it. Nice commitment this week on Tuesday from four-star offensive lineman Wanya Morris. That's a pretty big get for the Vols. Beat out Auburn and a big, big, good-looking lineman.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously fills a huge need for Tennessee on the offensive line. That was a position they obviously didn't address as fully as they would have liked in the 2018 class, and need some immediate help there. So it's big in that regard. He's a top 50 player nationally. So anytime you're talking about getting a lineman of that caliber, it's potentially an immediate impact player. And on top of that, I think it's just big for Tennessee to go into the Atlanta area and win a big time recruiting battle like that. I think it sends a big message for Jeremy Pruitt and his staff. That's an area where Tennessee didn't win, frankly, enough battles, I thought, in the last couple of years under Butch Jones's staff. So to be able to go back in there and in the first few months under Jeremy Pruitt beat out another SEC rival for a guy like Wanya Morris, I think that's a really nice pickup and a nice early addition for Tennessee to kind of build this class around in the 2019 class.
Who recruited him, Ryan?
Really, the entire staff. I think you give credit to Will Friend, obviously, who's the offensive line coach. But one of the things to keep in mind, he's a former Florida State commitment, Wanya Morris is, and a couple of the connections that he had to Tennessee staff were guys that were at Florida State last year, including Tino Senseri, who's a quality control assistant, and Charles Kelly, the safeties coach. So really, it was kind of the entire staff that recruited him, from Tyson Helton, the offensive coordinator, all the way to obviously Jeremy Pruitt being heavily involved with him. So kind of several guys you give the credit to on that one. But he knew several guys even before they got to Tennessee. And once he visited Tennessee, I think that's one of the reasons he felt so comfortable, as he saw a lot of familiar faces.
Well, that like we mentioned, that happened on Tuesday. That was a big get for them. You feel like there are any other players who might be on the verge of committing in the near future?
Well, this could be a little more active month for Tennessee, I think. There's been some talk, and we'll see if he stands by it, that Sean Brown, a three-star tight end from Rome, Georgia, could make a decision in the next week or so. He talked about announcing a decision on May 12th, so we'll see if he sticks to that. He's been kind of quiet lately. Might decide to wait a little longer because he's gotten some other big offers lately, but that's been a Tennessee-Auburn battle for a couple of months now, and Tennessee has been viewed as the leader in that one recently, so that's a possibility. Then you've got four-star wide receiver Ramel Keaton from Marietta, Georgia, that Tennessee looks to be in pretty good shape with, and he's planning to announce his decision on May 16th, I guess a little more than a week away. So definitely some guys who are getting close to decisions beyond that, too. They're in good shape with a couple of cornerback commitments, Tyus Fields, and also battling for Jaden Hill, a four-star corner from Alabama. Both of those guys, are at least considering making decisions by June or so, and at least open to the idea of making earlier decisions. So I think you're going to see some more activity in the next several weeks, and this addition this week of Wanya Morris could kind of just get the ball rolling on what could be a pretty busy couple of months for Tennessee, including summer camps and everything starting next month.
How many more linemen do they need in this class?
I think you need at least a couple.
You have Jackson Lampley. Yes, sir.
Yeah, you got Jackson Lampley to go along with Wanya Morris, so that's a good start. I think they need at least four in this class, and that could depend on just kind of what the situation is. They've got some uncertainty still with Chance Hall. What's the situation with Trey Smith? If those guys are back, you maybe don't have quite as much of a need for five or six linemen in this class. But if you were to not get one of those guys back, I think you've got to try to sign maybe five. So I think four or five is probably the realistic goal, and that maybe just depends on what the long-term situation is with a couple of those guys that are still a little bit uncertain.
You mentioned Jackson Lampley, four-star offensive lineman from NBA commit. I think that one's 100%, right? That's locked down. Don't worry about that one. Do you see this being – he's the only in-state commitment right now for 2019. Do you see this being a smaller in-state class for Tennessee? And who are some of the guys right now that you feel like that Tennessee's really hot on that they have a good chance at?
Yeah, this will be an interesting year in-state. It does have the potential, I think, to be a smaller in-state class. But I think they're still sort of evaluating some guys that, you know, maybe were would have been higher priorities with the old staff. I think this staff is kind of still trying to figure out whether some of these guys in-state are going to be perfect fits for them. So I think they're still assessing that. They, as an example of that, they had a few mid-state players, some good players, heavily recruited, you know, Trey Knox, Woody Washington, and Adonis Otey, 3-4 stars from Murfreesboro. And they visited with Jeremy Pruitt this week, and when they met with him, all the assistant coaches were on the road, so they sat down with Jeremy Pruitt and watched film of their own playoff game, Oakland against Blackman, in the second round of last year's playoffs. And when they did, Jeremy Pruitt essentially gave them a little critique of each of them and told them kind of where they all need to improve and what he liked about all of them, and, you know, kind of gave them some honest feedback. And I think they all three kind of liked that. But at the same time, I think it was a fair assessment of where Tennessee is with them. They like them, but they still would like to see maybe a little bit more to just be 100% certain about them. So I think that was a good step forward for Tennessee, honestly, and something that kind of gave them a better feel for Jeremy Pruitt as a coach. But I think those three guys certainly are in play for Tennessee. And then you got guys like Lance Wilhoit, the 4-star receiver at FRA, that is kind of in the same boat. But Tennessee is obviously in good shape with him and has made him a priority. And then you've got guys in Memphis like Maurice Hansen, committed to LSU, and Bill Norton, committed to Georgia, that Tennessee's still chasing, but they're going to be tough pulls. So, and then along with those, a few others they're still evaluating. So it's going to be an interesting year in state, but it could be a smaller class. It could maybe get up to 6, 7, or 8 guys in state. We'll see what kind of decisions they make on some of those guys they're not sure about right now.
You mentioned Lance Wilhoit at FRA. You all have him very high in your rankings, the 247 rankings. Will he be a wide receiver? Is that what he's being recruited as?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then I tell you, a kid that is kind of close to home for me, I get to watch him play a lot, and Kane Patterson, his stock keeps rising at CPA linebacker. I saw where he got an Auburn offer the other day. Was kind of off the radar about 6 months ago. That's not right, but you know what I'm saying. A lot more activity lately. He keeps climbing on your rankings. How high are the Vols on Kane? Because I know one thing, that kid hits.
Yep, and I think they are. They offered him a couple of months ago. He visited back during spring practice, and I think he's pretty high on Tennessee. But he's got a long list of choices and a variety of choices too. I think he could go the SEC route. He could go kind of the more academic school route if he's intrigued by that. And Tennessee, I think, kind of opened his eyes when he visited this spring. So I think they're high on him. At the same time, I think he's a guy that they might need to see in person during either this month, during the spring evaluation period, or during a camp next month to just be 100% sure. But I think they're pretty high on him, and I think he's climbed their board the last couple of months. So that's another one to watch in state. You know, one of several guys I think that could end up being really in play, just depending on what they see from him over the next several weeks.
Ryan, we got about a minute left. Still looking for a quarterback in the 2019 class. Quarterbacks often commit early. You have a good feel for where they might turn to land a quarterback?
Yeah, I think they're still sort of figuring that out. They've got a couple that they like that they've offered. Lance LeJean from Louisiana is one that's committed to Kansas. They've been involved with him for a few months now, and he visited back in early March. So that's one that's already on the board that's still worth watching. They offered recently another guy that's committed to another school, Brendan Clark from Virginia, who's committed to Wake Forest. Clemson also has offered him recently. So we'll see if he takes visits and looks around it all over the summer. But his stock has risen, and Tennessee has jumped in the race lately. So those are a couple to watch. But this is not the deepest quarterback class, so this might be one of those years where Tennessee ends up needing to wait till summer camps to really assess some guys and really figure out where they're going if they can't get one of those guys currently committed to another school. So I think they're still sort of evaluating that and seeing who they can get, frankly, to see who they can get in this class. But that's something to definitely watch over the next month or two.
Hey, Ryan, as always, great information. You're going to be back with us next Sunday, so we'll finish up on some more recruiting. Anybody who listens to this show knows where, but just in case, tell them where they can find you.
Yeah, govols247.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at RyanCallahan247.
Have a great day, bud. That's it for today. Appreciate you joining us. Enjoy this beautiful Sunday. We'll be back next week on Big Orange Sunday.